Good morning, everybody. Welcome to our ninth Bring in the Experts webinar series. Now, I'm just doing a little sound check to begin with to make sure everybody can hear me. So those, can someone go onto the chat on the right-hand side of your screen and just give me a, all good, can hear you, nice and loud for me. Fantastic. Thank you, everybody, coming through the side there. Just doing a little check to ensure. So for those of you that don't know me, I'm Katrina Shanks. I'm the CEO of Financial Advice New Zealand. And this is obviously our ninth webinar now in the series of Bringing the Experts. So just a little bit of housekeeping. If I lag out, sometimes my internet can be a bit dodgy. Sarah Christian will come in. She's our Policy and Governance Manager and take over from me. If we do lag quite badly, we'll go off visual and just go into audio and continue that way. So we haven't shut down, we'll just go audio only. So the flow today is our presenter, Keith Abraham, will do a 30-minute overview of his presentation, and then we'll open it up for questions and answers or chat afterwards. So everybody's on mute and everybody's videos are off because obviously we have significant numbers of people on this call this morning. I've just noticed we've rolled over 200. And so ask the questions, ask lots of questions and lots of chats, and I'll ask them on your behalf when we get to that stage, and then Keith will do a wrap at the end for us. So we're excited to bring you this interactive and impactful, insightful webinar with Keith Abraham. Keith is a multi-award-winning Australian speaker who has spoken to more than 1.6 million people globally. He is the best-selling author of 5 business and personal growth books published in 12 languages. Keith has extensive knowledge of the finance advice industry and has worked with planners, advisors, mortgage brokers around the world. Keith, it's my pleasure to give you the floor.
Oh, thanks, Katrina. Thanks very much for the opportunity. Good morning, everybody. Thanks for being on this webcast. You know, interesting time we work, and I'm, you know, myself at the moment, I'm working across about 3 different time zones, and it's very insightful in talking to the leaders that I work with around the world, just to get their take and where they're at and the different places they're in regards to lockdown and how it has either impacted or accelerated their business. So I wanted to spend a little bit of time with you and talk a little bit about what now. You see, I believe there's 3 phases we're going to go through. What now, what's next, and what's necessary. And I wanted to share with you some strategies, some insights, some ideas, a little bit of inspiration to help you get not just through this crisis. A lot of people say, I just need to get through this crisis. No, it's not about getting through the crisis. It's about growing through the crisis. And I don't mean about growing your business. It's about growing the platform that your business is on. It's about growing who you are. And it's about not just getting through the other side and then catching your breath. It's making sure that you have the ability to rebound when the lockdown and the restrictions start to come off. I've been fortunate over the last 24 years to work with some amazing companies around the world. And one of the companies that I've worked with over the last 6 years has been Harley Davidson. And they're a funky group to work with because I remember the first conference I went to. Now, you got to understand, I have no experience in motorbikes. The only time I've ridden a motorbike was a friend of mine had a Yamaha Piwi 50, which was one of those little bikes. And we used to ride around our farm on that bike. And so when Harley asked me to do some work for them, I sort of had to do a fair bit of research. And I remember watching a video clip of an interview of a journalist and the head of a guy called Richard Teeling. And the journalist asked this question. He said, what's it like being the motorbike manufacturing business? And Richard Teeling, the CEO of Harley Davidson, responded back. He said, we're not in that business. And the journalist was quite perplexed. And he said, yes, you are. You make Harley Davidson. He said, that might be what we do, but that's not the business we're in. And the journalist thought for a moment and he came back with a follow-up question. He said, okay, so what business are you really in then? He said, what we sell is the ability for a 43-year-old accountant to dress in black leather, ride through small towns and have people be afraid of you. We're a lifestyle business. And so it got me thinking about today's webcast. It's got me thinking about what business do you really need to be in right now? And so here's what I believe. If you want to conquer what's now, what's next, and what's necessary, you need to start to think a little bit about what you do need to do right now. Connect. For the last 2 weeks, I have spoken to 300 of my clients to do two things. One is to make sure they're okay. Second is to see how best I can be of service. Not to sell them anything. In actual fact, we've given away a whole stack of stuff to people just to help them get through this, to grow through this with them and their people. Here's the next thing. We have to change. You know, we have to do things differently. If you said to me 6 months ago, oh, Keith, you're going to be doing virtual presentations. No, nobody wants those types of things. You know, I like getting on a plane and traveling. I speak at 100 conferences a year. And so I'm changing. And by the way, this is like mark three of this webinar. This is, you know, I started off with just my laptop. Now there's a camera. Now there's lights. Now there's, you like my background. This is Burleigh Beach, one of my favorite beaches that I grew up on the Gold Coast. So we have to change on how we connect with our clients, how we connect with our colleagues. And now more than ever, we need to clarify. We need to be in the business of having a very clear picture of where we're going to go. If you've seen me present before, you understand I talk a lot about goals. I talk about having the business of your dreams as a financial planner, advisor, mortgage broker. And I'm saying to you now, don't worry about the business of your dreams. Don't worry about the long-term vision. Your long-term vision at the moment is the next 30 days. What do you need to do over the next 30 days? Because that's all we can control. In the chaos, in the crisis, in the confusion, that's what we can control. You've got to control the controllables. And the next piece is, what do you need to personally conquer? In your business, what do you need to improve, enhance, develop, create, take to the next level? If you haven't got business rolling in, and I know for some of you, if you've only been in the industry for a little while, it's tough. But if you haven't got business, what are you doing to lay a foundation to be able to capitalize on this opportunity, to capitalize on this crisis? What do you need to put in place? I don't know about you personally, but I often have thought to myself, I always feel like I'm somewhere between a day and a week behind. And, you know, I've often said to myself, you know, if we could just stop the world for a week, I reckon I can catch up. You've got to be careful what you wish for, huh? And so the opportunity now is to spend some time in your business, to take it and to improve and fix and enhance what you need to do. But you've got to have a mindset around that. So today, I wanted to share with you a couple of key areas. I want to talk to you about these three. I want to talk about reset. I want to talk about review, and I want to talk about refocus. This is about resetting the goal. What do you want to achieve in the next 30 days? And I want to give you a six-step process on how to do that. I want to talk about review, and I want to get you to review the mindset you need at the moment. Because as you know, if you want to go there personally, you have to go there mentally first. And so I want to share with you on how you, what mindset you need, what habits you need. And then I want to talk about how you refocus. What do you need to focus on right now? You know, there is so much information. There are so many distractions out there. We have to starve the distractions and feed the focus. And so what do you need to focus on moving forward? I want to give you four areas to think about for that. Now, you should have, if you haven't downloaded already, one of these workbooks. And all of the information, and you can follow along, you can add in it, you can share it with your colleagues, is all in this handout. But if you haven't got it downloaded and you've got a pen and paper, I'm going to get you to do a couple of things. Here's what I'm going to do. The hardest thing you have to do is think, write, and you have to jump in the chat box from time to time and share a couple of things with me. And if you've got some questions at the end, happy to handle them. And if we run out of time, I'm going to give you my personal email address so you can send me the question and I will respond back to you. So let's talk a little bit about what we need to do to refocus, to reset and to review. The first one is reset. So here's what I'd like you to think a little bit about. You have to have purpose. You need to have purpose in your life and in your business right now. You do not want to let things happen to you. And I know in your country, like in Australia, you've been belted. You've been belted by regulators, by different types of compliance. You haven't had a royal commission, but you've had all of those types of things come down on top of you, as well as coronavirus. My goodness. But here's what I do know about planners, advisors, mortgage brokers that I work with, resilient. Resilient because the service you provide makes a difference in people's lives. What you do is totally undervalued by people in government. But what you do is make a difference in people's lives. And so to be able to get you refocused, you have to think about what your purpose is for the next 30 days. For me, my purpose has been two things. Reconnect with clients. So that's, you know, 300 phone calls and text messages to clients to say, are you okay? The second is go through my list of 30 projects to fix, plan, improve, enhance in my business. You know, everything from reclassifying my database, reclassifying my database all the way through to writing this diagnostic tool that I've been talking about for the last 2 years. So what's your purpose? You've got to have a plan. Don't panic, plan. If you want to get back control, then you have to have a plan because that's what you can control. And then the next piece, because if you have a plan, you make progress. I don't know about you personally, but I feel frustrated when I don't feel like I'm making progress. And so to be able to feel like you're moving towards something and moving away from what you don't want, then you need to make sure that you have a plan to make progress. And the final piece is, you know, Katrina mentioned I've written 5 best-selling books. 4 of them has been around goals, passion, and focus. And one of the things I talk a lot about is passion. And you might be thinking, geez, Ted, now's not the time to be passionate. No, now's the time to be passionate. And here's what I mean by that. If you said to me, Keith, you can never ever use the word passion ever again, too easy. I wouldn't use it. What I would do is I'd change the word passion to energy. You want to hang around people that have got good energy, don't you? How do you know when you hang around negative people? Simple. You feel a lot better after you left them. And so this is about making sure you've got your energized, enthused, engaged, empowered to be able to move forward. So here's what I want you to think a little bit about. What's the number one goal that you want to achieve in the next 30 days? What's that number one goal that you want to achieve? If you can only achieve one thing in your business, what would that be? And I want to walk you through a process. But before I do that, I want to have a little bit of water. All good so far? So let me walk you through the process. This is called the 9-part goal driver formula. Obviously, there's not 9 parts. Not the day to share 9 parts with you, only because of the time restraint. What I can tell you is for the last 37 years, I've been a student of the goal setting process. Read every book on it, gone to heaps of seminars on it, listened to stacks of speakers, psychologists, lecturers, professors, high performance sports coaches. And here's what I can tell you. The reason why most people don't set a goal is because they're not connected to it, they're not compelled by it, and they're not committed to it. Now, the last one's simple. But how do you get people to be connected, compelled, and committed? You have to have an emotional, mental, and physical connection. Of the 135 different emotions you can experience as an adult, 64 of them are positive. 64 are positive. Of those 64, they break down into what I call 8 key goal drivers. And so you need to, because what we need to have is when we have an emotional, mental, and physical connection, in other words, feel, think, do, why, what, how, heart, head, hands, we start to become committed, compelled, and connected. What are the 8 drivers? They're in your handout, but let me just walk you through them. People want to feel successful. People want to feel purposeful. People want to feel inspired. People want to feel happy. People want to feel organized. People want to feel respected. People want to feel confident, and people want to feel relaxed. So here's the first little bit of interaction I want you to think a little bit about is in the next 30 days, how do you want to feel? Do you want to feel successful, purposeful, inspired, happy, organized, respected? Do you want to feel confident? Do you want to feel relaxed? How do you want to feel? If you've got a moment, put it in the chat box for me, if you'd be so kind, and I'll just read out some of them. Because you have to identify how you want to feel first. Why go and set a goal and it doesn't enthuse, engage, and energize you? It's just ticking the box. People, thanks, Corinne. Happy, confident, organized. Yeah, Kelly, mine's organized as well. That's the list. That's why I've got a list of 30-plus projects. I want to feel organized at the next end of this next 30 days. Valued, yeah. Rod, when you say valued, that's respected. That's the respected part. Is now a good time to build, to put deposits in the emotional bank account of your clients? Is now the time to do that? organized, confident, and prepared. Yeah, absolutely. Purposeful. Thanks, Fraser. Yep. Yeah, I want to make sure the time in this lockdown hasn't been wasted. That's the same for me. That's why I want to complete the project. So thank you for doing that. Organized and motivated. Yeah, that's inspired, purposeful. Yep, wonderful. So now that you've got that in your head, thank you for doing that, by the way, everybody. Now you've got that in your head, here's the second part of the. So what's the number one goal you want to achieve in the next 30 days to help you feel, whatever you just wrote down, to help you feel respected, organized, happy, purposeful, relaxed? What's the number one goal you want to achieve? What is it that is so important for you to achieve the next 30 days to get that emotion? So I want you to think about what that goal is. Now, here's the key with goals. You know this, got to be specific. Vague goals equal vague results. So you need to be specific and to the point about it. You know, take the time to build detail in it. My goal is not to complete my projects. My goal is to complete the 30 projects that are of high value, low cost, that will set me up for the next 5 years. That's my goal at the moment. For the next 30 days, that's my goal. Nice and clean, nice and specific. And so in my head, I've got a picture of what that is. Step three, really simple, next 30 days. So what's the date? What are we, 15th today or something like that? So here's what I want you to think a little bit about. So it's the 15th of May, 2020. So write that date down. You know, I'm not sure what day of the week it is. If it's a weekend and you don't work weekends, I was just saying to Katrina before, geez, every day feels like the same day. It's a bit like Groundhog Day. So the date. Then what I want you to write down is step number four is you've got to write down five reasons why. Why five reasons why? Because if you don't have a big enough reason why, any excuse will do. Too hard, too easy, too hot, too cold, too many, too few, too little, too much. You have to have five reasons why. And if you can't think of five reasons why, it doesn't mean enough to you. And so this is why it's so important to make sure that you're really clear on why you're doing it. For me, it's setting me up. It's setting me up for the next 5 years. This is the perfect opportunity. Here's my thinking. I know I'm a little strange perhaps, but I'm thinking to myself, I can't control the coronavirus, but I can control who I become and what I achieve at the end of it. And so I'm sort of thinking, wow, one of the reasons why is to be better organized, to tick off everything that I've been putting to one side because I haven't had time or the energy, to making sure that I set myself up and to really amp myself up to the next level. I don't want to come out of this and be the same speaker. I want to be better. And so once you've done step four, then you have to identify what's two things you need to start doing, what's two things you need to stop doing in your life, in your business right now to be able to achieve that goal, to feel that goal driver. What are the two things you need to start doing? You know, here's what I've stopped doing. I've stopped consuming media. I have two or three different media sources that I go to each day that I know are balanced, that I know are accurate, and I know that put things into perspective. And I'm not watching the TV. I'm not listening to the radio. I'm not reading newspapers. Why? Because they're in the business of selling doom, destruction, disaster, and despair. And they never, ever give you the full picture. And so what do you need to start doing? Maybe it's being a lot more structured in your day. I learned this from a speaker friend of mine. You know, it's just getting up and going to work and typing out emails and doing this. And I was busy being busy, but I wasn't busy being productive. So what's two things you need to start? Next step, four milestones. So let's say there's 4 weeks. So I want you to think about, okay, so what's the milestone? What do I need to achieve this week? What do I achieve the week after? What's the week after that? What's the week after that? So I need to have four milestones that I work towards and start to break it down. And so that's the six steps moving forward. And so this is really important for it. Now, let me ask you to do one other thing for me. What's one of your reasons why? What's one of your reasons why that this is absolutely critical. You don't have to tell me the goal. I don't need to know the goal. But what's the reason why you need to achieve the goal that came into your head? As I was talking to you, maybe you wrote, maybe you didn't. But what do you need? To reduce stress, yeah. Oh, yeah. Virginia, great question. Can you just pop that in the Q&A and Katrina and I'll handle it and I'll remember that. What are the news feeds? Reconnecting with people, yeah. Better connection with clients. Enjoy my business again. Hello. Isn't it time we fell back in love with our business? As I said to you before, you've been belted. You've been in the bullseye of a lot of people and you've been the kicking bag for a lot of people. And I just think now's the time to fall back in love with it, fall back in love with your business, to be proactive and not always reactive yet, to get motivated again, to continue to build the business. Yep. Sharon, I'll definitely share the media resources I've got. Thanks for sharing that. Let me get on to the next step. Review. React, respond. React and respond. And one of the things I said to people, as soon as the coronavirus hit, I wrote a blog about this and I said, guess what? We need to be right now, we need to have two thoughts. How we react and how we respond. How we react is the emotional and how we respond is the action. And if you're going to control the controllables, first, here's the only thing you can control. You can control how you think and you can control what you do next, the action you take. And so to be able to do that, you need to have the right mindset. You need to pick a mindset. And people say, oh, you just need to be positive. No, too vague, too broad. What does that really mean? No, you have to be so deliberate now. You have to pick a mindset. And you have to be able to say, hey, what is it that I want to achieve? If I'm going to achieve the goal I just wrote down, I need to pick a lane. And so in your handout, I have given you 6 mindsets to consider. Let me walk you through those and let me give you a little bit of insight into what I mean by these. Let me ask you this question. How would you turn up? How would you turn up if you had the mindset that you are courageous? How would you walk? How would you talk? How would you think? What would you say to yourself? What would you say to others? If you were courageous, why courageous, Keith? Because you have to be courageous to change. Because what we're going through is uncomfortable. It's inconvenient. It's the unknown. And to be able to walk through that, you have to be courageous. So with every cell in your body, how would you walk? How would you talk? How would you turn up? What would you say to yourself? What would you say to others if you were courageous? If you were tenacious, if you had this sticking ability, to be able to not be defeated by the circumstances and situations around with, how would you turn up? How would you walk? How would you talk? How would you think? What would you say to yourself? What would you say to others? Limitless. I got to tell you, I said this to Katrina on our test call yesterday with Sarah. One of the things I said is, I've never been so busy in the last 3 weeks. Why? Because I'm re-gearing. I'm checking in on people and I'm retooling my business for the future. Self-love. Do you need to be a bit more kinder in yourself? I had a teleconference last night into London with one of the leaders I mentor over there and just their harshest critic. And I said, stop beating up on yourself. Be your best friend. Be your cheerleader. Stop being so critical. So do we need to look at how would you turn up if you were your best friend? If you were the person who believed in you the most, if you were your cheerleader, if you were your greatest coach, how would you walk? How would you talk? How would you turn up? You've got to have that person on your side. How would you turn up if you are no longer waiting for people to give you permission? How would you walk? How would you talk? How would you turn up with every cell in your body if you were empowered? And of course, the last one there is grateful. Oh, Keith, is there anything to be grateful at the moment? Absolutely. You know, out of this, maybe you build a stronger connection with your clients. Maybe you build a stronger connection with your family because they're at home with you. And you start having those conversations because you have to. You know, what are you grateful for? Because if you cannot find the gratitude in what you're going through, you'll become bitter and twisted. You won't become better, you become bitter. And that's the choice you need to make. So let me ask you this question now, if you'd be so kind. Tell me what's your mindset. Maybe it's not on that list. You know, maybe I don't relate to any of those. Okay, great. Tell me what your mindset is because you have to pick one. Type that in the chat box for me if you would like. Yeah, the handout's at the top. of the chat box. We did put it in there. We did send it to you in the email confirmation newsletter this morning as well. Empowered. I love that, Mark. You've got to be empowered. You're not waiting for people to give you permission. Go out and make things happen. Resilient. Yeah, absolutely. You know, so if you were resilient, how would you walk? How would you talk? How would you turn up every day? If you were grateful, if you were optimistic, if you were unrestricted, yeah, if you were courageous, beautiful. You guys and gals get this. So good, so good. Here's the last thing I want to talk about on this page. So if you are courageous, if you were grateful, if you were empowered, if you were resilient, what daily rituals do you need to have in place every day to strengthen that, to reinforce that? You know, for me, here's one of my rituals. Before I get out of bed in the morning, before I go to sleep at night, I think about about being courageous. What do I have to do today differently? Where do I need to become uncomfortable? And so, you know, and I'm going to be totally trans. This is new and foreign to me. You know, I'm testing and you know, this is the first, second, third presentation I've used a camera like the one I've got. And so I'm getting used to trying to be, you know, as good as I am live, if not better, because that's what I need to be. So what are the daily rituals? What are the habits you need to have in place that's going to make you the best version of you, not the second best version of somebody else? Last one before we get into some questions, refocus. You know, I wrote a book called Focus. I want to share that with you in a moment. And this whole piece around focus is really the critical piece for most people. People get distracted. People lose their intention. People lack attention. And so if you want to refocus, here are four things you need to think about. Every day, start your day with three priorities. What are the three priorities today? Every day you have to have purpose, and to have purpose, you need priorities. So what are the three things must do, absolutely must do for today? There's heaps of stuff to do, by the way, but what are the three things that are must do for you? Here's the next one. People. Who are the people you need to connect with? You know, I just went through my list. I went, right, who do I know? Who's most vulnerable? I've got to tell you, all the car companies are exceptionally vulnerable and their people are vulnerable. You know, one of my clients, you know, their dealership is down 70%, 70% of their business gone. And so how do you respond? It's same with you guys and gals. So who do you need to connect with? The first week of the coronavirus, I connected with family, friends, and colleagues. That was my first priority. The next couple of weeks was clients. And now it's community. The communities that I'm connected with, like your organization. Here's the next one. Projects. What are the projects you need to work on? What do you need to do in your business to improve, enhance, fix, change, evolve? What is it that you need to do to be able to come out the other side of this business and not just survive, not just be successful, but to be significant? What is it that you need to do? And the last one there is personal. We have to have some personal routines and rituals in place to help us move ourselves forward. So what are the daily habits? Is it walking? Is it reading? Is it, you know, making those, you know, five calls? I know for me, one of the advice I give lots of my colleagues is if you want to grow a business fast, contact seven people every day. And for the people that are in this business, when you probably first got in the industry, somebody, you know, depends on how long you've been around for, but, you know, somebody said, you know, you got to go and contact 20 to connect with 10 to get five appointments to, you know, get one across the line. The numbers still work today. So what are your personal habits so that you are energized, enthused, and engaged? So reset, review, refocus. And I want you to start thinking about what it is that you need to do to be able to move yourself forward, because you have to conquer what's now so that you can create a plan for what's next. And as you do that, you'll become you won't just survive, you'll become successful, but more importantly, you'll become significant. So I'm going to open up to some questions, and I want to give you some resources to be able to go with. I want to give you actually some free resources that people normally pay for that you can download and access, and we'll do that probably after the Q&A. So Katrina, happy to open up for some questions as we go through. If you want to read them out to me as part of it, that'd be super. Somebody asked about media, so I might as well handle that one right off the top of the bat. So for me, John Hopkins Medical Center, I get a daily email from them 5 days a week, which gives me all around the world, because I'm working in the UK and Asia and the US, as well as New Zealand and Australia. One of the things is I'm just looking at what the real numbers are. I'm looking at, and so there's this wonderful dashboard and Katrina, I know you also follow this as well. This wonderful dashboard of just telling you the number of cases that are still active, the number of people recovered, the number of deaths. And then if you click on, for example, New Zealand, it will then tell you the curve and the number per day and the number of recoveries per day. So it's a really, so that's one piece of information, which gives me facts. The next is I log into an app called Flipboard, and Flipboard can give me different news sources from, in essence, from organizations that I trust, newspapers, all in one. So they're the two things that I do. And the third thing is I'm talking to clients all the time around the world. And so they're giving me actual boots on ground information as well, which either confirms or denies some of the things that I read on some of those other reports. So they're the articles that I follow up. I don't want to consume myself with it. I just want to be aware. So when I'm having conversations, I am a little bit knowledgeable and I'm not ignorant about it. Questioner.
That's great, Keith. So can people come on and ask questions and answers at the bottom of your screen there? You'll see a Q&A. So that's where you can click on and ask your questions of Keith, and also down the chat line. You guys have been really good on the chat down the side, which is how we had our
system
running. So yeah, please feel free to ask some questions. I'll kick off with a question, actually, Keith.
Done this not too hard now.
Because I can. I found this totally inspiring, I've got to say, and I've written 1,000 notes myself here for my own life and my own organisation and how we're focusing. So if we can just reverse the track up to the very beginning of what you were talking about, and you're talking about your goal setting process and 8 key goal drivers. Can you just expand just a little bit more on that? Because I got the how I feel, how I think, what I do, the physical, mental, emotional thing, that was really great. And then I kind of missed the 8 key goal driver part a little bit. I got a little bit lost in that part. Expand out on that just a little bit more?
Sure, absolutely. Page 4 in the handout, there's a description on each one of them. But let me give you the thumbnail version. So when I talk to people about being successful, people are driven by status. And so, and that's okay, by the way. So if that's your driver at the moment, fantastic. But that category is what I call successful. The next is around purpose. People who have got a purposeful driver have got a belief of doing something, in essence, a legacy, something that's bigger than them, outside of them, lives on after them. In regards to inspired, that's about I want to make a difference to other people. Happy is that I, in essence, I want to be loved. I want to give love, and I want to be remembered for being personable, connected with people. I like, my whole drive is about what I can do to bring joy to other people. Organize is about control. So when people say I want to be organized, that's I want to have control. Respected is one of my drivers. I push myself harder and longer than most people, only because I just want to. I have a great deal of. I'm driven by the respect that I get for my expertise and authority and knowledge. And so that respect is around how you are perceived by others. Confident, by the way, confidence is really very much around being able to walk in somewhere and be empowered, but to have a sense of presence about you. You want a sense of presence. And relaxed is, Keith, I want to do this, but I want to do it effortlessly. I don't want to be the maniac. I don't want to be frantic, but I want this to be effortless. Does that make sense, Katrina? I think you're on mute there.
Unmute myself, that's very helpful. So, no, that was really good, thanks. So we've got a couple more questions.
Lovely,
through, please. Which is great. Hi, Keith, how are you going about attracting new clients in this current environment?
Yeah, good, really good question. You've got to be so proactive. So here's what I'm doing. Firstly, I am reaching out to my client base. I've always done it once a month, but now I'm sort of going to twice a month, not to bombard it with information, but I'm just about to, I do a newsletter. And then the other piece is I'm just about to start doing some of my own webinars. So, anybody that's connected with me socially, I'll invite them along to a webinar. There'll be some that will just be specific to leadership. Here's the other thing that I'm doing around gaining clients. This is the perfect opportunity to reach out to every prospect you've ever contacted and say, I know you haven't done business with me, but I just wanted to check in and make sure you're okay. I'm not here to sell you anything. I'm just here to check that you're okay. And you can do that through a phone call or through a text message. I wouldn't do it through an email because people are getting bombarded with that. I wouldn't do it through a... And the other thing that you can do as well... by the way, I'll just reflect back on that. So one of my prospective clients sent them an email and said, hey, listen, I'm just checking to make sure you and your people are okay. I know you would have been impacted significantly by corona. And if I can do anything for you, happy to do anything for you. And I've got a whole lot of options that are free, not here to say anything. And I got an email back from them. And so I sent a text message, but I got an email back from them saying, Keith, we are just so impressed that you've done that. I'm not sure if we need you at this point in time, but I think further down the track we will. And you are the first person on the list that we're going to call. And we've been approached by a whole stack of people to sell us something. But we just get that that's not the time. And so, you'll be surprised. Nothing but good can come from it. The other thing I want to say to you is start to do two things on LinkedIn or on your social media or to your client base and do these two things. Create content. Create content. Give them hope, but give them how. And secondly is curate content. So whatever you see that's interesting, put your slant or opinion on it and be proactive that way. That's what I'm doing.
Great. All right. Another great question we had come in is, what is the biggest mistake that most people do during an economic crisis to avoid?
What is the biggest mistake they make? Or what? Look, you know what? The biggest mistake most people do, and they did it in the GFC, is people went silent. In financial advice, financial planning, mortgage broking, people went quiet. Now is the time to go and connect. And I know I'm on this bandwagon at the moment, but Keith, what if people are, have a crack at me? They're going to have a crack at you anyway. The biggest complaint that most of all the planners and advisors, mortgage brokers that I worked with during the GFC, and you've got to understand, have a look at me. I've got grey hair, or as my barber says, platinum white. I've been through a GFC. I've been through 9/11. I've been through SARS. I've been through the introduction of GST in Australia, and Y2K. So here's the challenge that I saw with the GFC with most planners and advisors and brokers is that they stopped communicating with their clients. The ones who did had significantly better relationships with clients coming out of it, and they held on to a lot more clients. You cannot be there for the good times. You have to be there for the really difficult conversations and difficult times. And so that's the first thing. The second thing is that people just don't plan to come out of it. So they plan to get to while they're in it, to get through it, but they never plan to grow through it and to get out the other side. I'm really conscious at the moment about my energy and making sure that I am ready to rebound, because when all this turns around, when you come off restrictions 4 and back to 3 and then down to 2, and I think you have an announcement today in New Zealand, you need to have the energy to be able to get through, to be able to restart, to be able to reset, to be able to recover, and to be able to rebound in your business. And that's going to be the really critical thing. If you're emotionally spent by the time you get here, then how do you restart your business if you haven't got the juice in the tank?
Yeah, that's absolutely right. So there was another follow-up question on that, actually, which works nicely, is how do you how do you deal with people who, it's good to be around people with high energy. What do you do when you're around people with low energy?
Limit the time I have with them. Yeah. You know, like, here are my inner sanctum, my wife, my two daughters. So I have a 20-year-old and a 22-year-old. And so obviously I'm like everybody in New Zealand, you know, I'm with them all the time. My next inner sanctum is I have a mastermind group of four other speakers, and we connect every fortnight and are sharing ideas and talking about opportunities and we're sharing also our vulnerabilities. And so it's important that you have that inner sanctum. So who's the people you need to connect with virtually during this period of time, just to make sure that you're not the only one thinking the way you're thinking? The negative people, I just limit my, I limit my time. And you say, well, Keith, what do you live with them? Well, you know, I live it, you know, if you can't limit the time, you have to limit impact. So you have to be topping up your tank by reading, listening to audio, you know, to podcasts, audio books. You know, you have to be doing those types of things to move yourself forward. So you have to be very deliberate, like any other day, about who you allow in the inner sanctum. Geez, I'm almost talking about like meet the parents and meet the flockers, aren't I? But you've got to be careful on who you have around you. I'm so blessed that I have a mastermind group of four other speakers who I trust and who will lift me up when I need to be lifted up and keep me balanced when I need to be balanced, as I do for them. By the way, that's why you belong to the association. You know, there is a collective here that needs to become a collaborative so that you can connect to be able to move yourself forward to what you want to create.
Yeah, that's absolutely right. So another question here, working from home, how do you manage separation between work and family? And I think that's something we're all, you know, it's a new place for all of us 24/7, right? So
yeah.
What do you recommend that we can do in that space?
Fabulous question. I've been talking to this with a few leaders. You know what most people have done? They've taken, now everybody has a rhythm of work. So they've taken the rhythm of what they do at work and they've tried to apply that rhythm for working at home, and it doesn't work. And so you have to come up with a new rhythm, which means you have to come up with a structure around your day. You know what? I'm not starting until 8:30. Or, you know what? I'm going to get up and I'm going to tidy up some stuff. Then I'm going to go for a walk. Then I'm having breakfast with my family and I'm going to have lunch with them. And so you have to make appointments with yourself. I know this sounds really structured, but you have to look at your calendar and go, every day, where do I allocate the time? When am I finishing work? When do I have a meeting with myself to work on that project? When am I having family time? And what am I going to do in that family time? When am I having personal time? When am I having development time? And so go through your day and start to think about what is the rhythm of work. It's, you got to look at it this way. You're not, if you're in Auckland, you're not traveling an hour, you know, to travel every day. If you're, you know, you're not having to go to the work and restart. So first thing is structure around the day, making appointments with yourself. Second is making sure that you have those three priorities. Third is setting up your environment. You know, I have dismantled a spare room. We're not having any visitors over in the foreseeable future. And I've created a studio, ordered a backdrop, gone a little old school with flip charts until I get a TV that's the right size for this room to be able to do slide presentations. You know, so what is it that you need to create in your environment? Do you need to put a car out on the street and turn your garage into your studio or into your office? So think a little bit about that. Do you need to, you know, set yourself up? If you're going to be in this for another month, then what strategy and structure do you need to put in place to do that?
Yeah, and I think many of us have already done that. We've moved a bedroom into a study and moved the garage into a gym, and so making it fit for purpose for how we want to operate and make it as nice as we possibly can, as much as you can in a garage or a gym. But it's all good. So this is another really good question we had coming through.
Please.
So is my goal driver really about identifying my own personality? Should I be realistic or aspirational?
So the goal driver is how you want to feel. So that's, you know, that's what is ever closest to your heart. The goal that you should have at the moment is, by going through this process, what we often say to people is people get clarity. With clarity comes confidence. With confidence comes certainty. With certainty comes consistency. And so by going through this process, once you go through it, in your heart of hearts, you'll go, that's BS, or that's very realistic. And I wish I had time to do the whole formula with you, but maybe another day. But one of the things I sort of can say about the goal drive formula is make sure that you look at it and you go, this is achievable and I can achieve it. And so it is about the driver is about how you want to feel, but more importantly, the actual goal you write down is the specific, is the actual mental, using your mental muscle to plan it out. And then physical is actually taking action.
Great. So we're going to a wrap now, Keith, and I promised you could have 5 minutes to wrap at the end. Unless you want to ask a couple of questions.
No. Let me just give some people some resources. And I know I have the ability to share my screen, and I know I've just gone out of focus. So don't say how come you're not in focus anymore. I wanted to just share a couple of things with people moving forward with this. Do this. Sorry, folks. So one of the things that I wanted to share with everybody here is I have a book called Focus. It's not for sale. I want to give you it. I want to give you my audio version of this book. And the best way to get to it is to go to my website, which is keithabraham.com/here-to-help. And it will look a little bit like this when we go there. And all you need to do is put your name and email address, industry, just so I know. I'm just tracking who's come to this page. This page is blind, which means I don't give it to – I've only just created it to do this webinar. So you're going to get the audio book. You're going to get the handout that goes with the audio book, and there's a whole stack of other resources there as well that I've given you access to. So if you'd like a copy of that, please go to the website, keithabraham.com/here-to-help, and you are most welcome to access that as we go through. So a couple other things. If you've got questions, I'll just stop sharing that. If you have questions after this event, my commitment to Financial Advice New Zealand is that you are most welcome to connect with me, keith@keithabraham.com.au, and I'll handle your questions. If it's complicated, I'll do a video to you. And somebody asked me about, what am I doing? I'm doing a lot more video messaging, and there's some wonderful platforms around for that. And if you want to connect with me on LinkedIn, Keith Abraham, CSP. So final message to, wrap things up. Now's the time to think about what's now, so that you're ready to do what's next, so that you are prepared for what's necessary when you come out of this environment. One of my favorite stories, a mate of mine shared this with me, and it's from a great countryman in New Zealand, Sir Edmund Hillary. And my mate had a chance to interview him before he passed away. And he asked him the question, what was it like when you got to base camp? And everybody on this call knows that the story was that he was actually part of the second team. You know, the first team had a crack and couldn't do it. And they said, you're up tomorrow morning. And my mate said to him, well, what were you thinking when you looked up at Everest? And he replied in such a lovely way. He said, when I looked up at Everest, he said, I thought it was too hard. I thought it was too hot, and I thought it was too cold. And my mate said, what do you do? And he said, simple, I just put one foot after the other. And I think if you're going to, no, sorry, I'll rephrase that. I know that if you're going to get through this and be significant on the other side of the coronavirus, is that you just have to take the first step. Hey, Katrina, it's been a delight being with you. Thank you very much for the opportunity. And thanks, everybody, for your lovely comments. If you'd be so kind in the comment section, just write down what you valued about this, purely and simply to give some feedback to Katrina and her team, because they're looking to add value to you as an industry body and help you navigate and get through the challenge that's ahead. It's been a delight.
Great. You've been sensational, Keith. Next week, we have Cameron Baggery, an economist, on Wednesday morning at 10 o'clock. Then on Thursday, we've got the company's office talking about if you need help with registration for transitional licensing. So come on board again next week. Enjoy the rest of your day. Enjoy the rest of your week. We all look forward to the announcements today coming from the government about level 3 and level 4 and what that's going to look like. And Keith, you have been sensational. So thank you once again.
Thank you.
And everybody stay safe in your bubbles out there. Thank you.